I don't know.
Song by the those guys that with the crazy hair and the outfits. Like, it's like they robbed Macho Man's closet.
Oh, Daddy damn.
Rock in the house tonight. Don't know the words, and that's all right. Moving forward to hockey talk.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's the best transition we're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah, and it didn't even require surgery. Look at that. Moving forward.
Oh, welcome to Drive Chance Hockey.
Deep cuts with Ann.
Good Lord. All right. Well, let's dive right in. At the top of today's list, I have we are at the quarter point of the season. So, you know, usually this is a time when teams kind of like find where they are in the, you know, in the rankings and kind of like it's starting to solidify. Not the case this season. Things are really in flux. It has been chaos except for the Colorado Avalanche. So that being said, 81% of games are within one goal margin. So it has been one of the closest seasons in recent memory. What precedent is, and has this ever happened before? What kind, like, this is an insane season. What's going on?
A lot of parity. A lot of teams are built very well. And when that happens, everyone's got the same cap. So you have the same money to build essentially the same formulated team.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, you got a lot of similar teams, similarly built teams.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing. Which is perfectly fine because it makes it competitive. So there's no one's really got that edge. I mean, look, case in point, you look at Edmonton. They arguably have two of like the top three best players, and they're not even in, they're not a playoff team today.
Yeah.
So it does. It just goes to show how well balanced these teams are, and how the league is. And then you look at the teams that are doing well. Yes, Colorado is off to a phenomenal start. But they're not pulling away. I mean, Dallas is right there. They're 4 points out.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, it's not like they're 10 points ahead and no, everyone's playing catch up.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the Central, you got Winnipeg, Chicago, Minnesota, who fell off a cliff 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, Utah all within a point of each other.
Yeah. I mean, you think of it this way, the Detroit Red Wings were not in, did not qualify for a spot in the Stanley Cup playoffs on Saturday. Then on Sunday, they were in second place in the Atlantic Division. Then 2 days later, they were in first.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, it's great. It just shows every game counts. You can't, you got to make everything, you know, it's obviously you're not going to win 82 games, but you got to do as much as you can as often, because otherwise you're just going to be, you know, you're going to be like, unfortunately, look at like, you know, Nashville, they need to turn it around, but they're not far out. They have 16 points. You go on a four game winning streak, you're right back in it. You know, like,
yeah,
look at the Pacific. I mean, every team's in it. I mean, yeah, Vancouver's at 20 points, but they're 9-10. They're basically a 500 team.
Yeah.
They win two games. They're in the second in the Pacific. No one's out is what it comes down to.
That's a really good optimistic way to look at it. What about, like, I'm gonna try to devil's advocate and look at the pessimistic view, is that you can't take a breath either. So, like, it seems like we're in a situation where every single game matters, because those at the top of the mountain aren't going to stay at the top of the mountain, right? Like, any one game could throw them off.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, look at where we're at right now. We got, you know, like you said, Detroit was not a playoff team, and now they're number one in the Atlantic in the matter of a few games.
Mm-hmm.
You got in the Metropolitan. I mean, everyone's got a winning record.
Yeah.
Like, Philadelphia is in last place and they're 9-6 and they have 21 points. They win one game and they're up to 23 points and they're in the middle of that division.
Yeah.
That's how close everyone is. And it's scary to look at, because you got a lot of teams now. If you were to start the playoffs today, Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers, not in the playoffs.
Yeah, you're right.
They're not there. Tampa Bay is not in the playoffs. Ottawa is not in the playoffs. These are all playoff teams last year.
Yep.
You know, you get teams like Pittsburgh who are in the playoffs right now, who are playing very well. So it's a very up and down, you know, situation where you lose three games in a row, you might as well just fold at this point. It's going to be such a tough clawback. I mean, you know, but we shall see what happens. I feel it's really exciting. I mean, we're only 20 games in, mm-hmm. and you know, we'll see. Let's look at this at the 40 game mark and see if teams are, if it's still the same, or teams start to pull away, and the elite teams rise to the top of the standings, and the teams that are, you know, on harder times or, you know, back to the bottom. I don't know. We'll see. I mean, right now Toronto is in second to last place. Not upset about that.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Fair enough. I mean, we also have to deal with the fact that this is a very compressed season, right? We have to deal with the fact that on February 11th, everyone's going away to, you know, or there's a break for the Winter Olympics. And that has got to be weighing heavy on everyone's mind. How do you focus on such a tight, important season when you got this coming up?
It's very tricky because it's like, as a GM, as a part of the management team, head coach, mm-hmm. you want to be competitive, and then your team goes away for 2 weeks. Some of the guys compete, some don't, and then you're kind of like hoping and wishing no one gets hurt. Because look at last year at the Four Nations, Matthew Tkachuk gets hurt, Charlie McAvoy gets hurt. These are big players for their teams who missed some time because of injuries that occurred during the Four Nations. Similar to the Olympics, like, you want to be competitive, you want to win that gold, but you know, the flip side is one of your best players gets hurt. Now you're coming back to the second half of a season where you may be down an elite player. Now your whole season's on thin ice, no pun intended, but you know, because of that. So like, it's really challenging. It's pretty nerve wracking, to be honest, because you know, you're going to 2 years in a row of not typical NHL seasons, mm-hmm. and it puts more onus on the fact that come the first week of March, I think, is a trade deadline. So if you do have sustained an injury to your team, now you're looking at making a trade, which you probably weren't looking to do to just stay competitive this season. I have all the sympathy for these GMs if they fall in this place, because like, you're dealing with hours, not days and weeks, to like make, to either right the ship or fold for the year.
You talked a lot about the GMs and how they're dealing with the situation. I want to know from your, what do you think the players are focusing on, right? Like, at what point do they have to stop thinking about, you know, their individual teams and start thinking about their country? Like, is there a cutoff point? Is it the beginning of February? Like, where, how do you, you know, do you, how do you split your time like that as a player?
That is a great, I don't know.
Fair.
Cause you mean you want to represent your country. You want to put your best efforts forward. But at the same time, this team is investing tens of millions of dollars, years into you as a player. And it's probably very conflicting. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to come out and say what it is, but like, you're not going to the Olympics and having like a 2 week vacation. You're going there to win a medal, and mm-hmm. you're going to play all out. But you know, in the back of the mind, you got to keep it. Got to keep realization like, hey, I don't go home after this. I go right back to work. Like, there's no off time for me.
Yeah.
And then if like you're a GM who's got some players that need to get healthy, you're looking at it from that perspective. It's like, oh, thank God, player A isn't going to the Olympics. He's been really banged up. Now he gets to rest for 2 weeks, get himself back ready to go once the season kicks off again. And you get that ability to kind of rest some of these guys who, you know, it's a physical sport, 82 games, travel, a lot goes on. Those 2 weeks is going to be like a blessing for a lot of these guys who don't have the opportunity to represent their country in the Olympics. They get a 2 week vacation to heal the body.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Fair enough. All right. Well, let me give you to show you how crazy this season is. I'm going to give you some statistics, my favorite thing in the world. Let's start with the fact that 76 games this season, and we're only a quarter in, have been tied after 55 minutes. 90 games this season have gone to overtime. There are only 5 teams in the NHL right now below a 500 rating, below a 500 win rate. And Colorado leads the NHL by 3 points. The next 13 teams are only separated by 4 points. I gotta say, I gotta think doesn't happen very often or ever.
No, you are correct. This is, I feel like this whole year going back to free agency has been uncharacteristic as, excuse me. As it comes, I mean, we didn't have the blockbuster free agent frenzy like we normally did. It was very mild. Going into the season, everything is pretty even. Like, it's you know, it's very, very, very tight in terms of, like, getting goals, getting points, you know, a lot of overtimes. And, you know, it's just really, really good for the sport. I mean, it's very competitive. It's not like, you know, we're not seeing the 5-0 in the second period and then have to see people go home because, all right, well, my team just – they're not scoring 5 in the third, so we're just going to go, you know. But yeah, I think Colorado is in a league of their own. You know, their thing for me, and I'm not trying to be a negative, but they are an older team. So let's see how well they play towards the end of the year, if that age kind of shows, that wear and tear kind of creeps up on them.
Yeah.
But when you have, you know, arguably the best offensive player, mm-hmm. the best defenseman, and a cast of amazing forwards. Like, this team is very, very strong. I am not knocking this team at all.
Yeah.
But I will say, you know, the grind of the season, they have a lot of players north of 30. They got the oldest man in the league, Brett Burns. He's a phenomenal shape, but, you know, he is in his 40s. Yeah. So, you know, there's just sometimes, like, that's just the nature of the sport. Like, the wear and tear does, you know, creep up.
Yeah. And let's talk about our favorite Eastern Conference. You know, our two teams, we got are separated only by a single point right now. We got the Hurricanes leading, but the Devils are right behind them. I think the Devils have done an insane job this season. Now, I'm in Raleigh, so I got to be, like, really, you know, careful what I say. And I do love the Canes, don't get me wrong, but Devils are putting up a fight that I haven't seen in them in a while.
Yeah, they're playing very well. I like what they're doing. I mean, I know it's going to be tough for the next couple weeks without Jack Hughes because my man can't cut a steak. But with that said, I mean, this team is built very well. I think they're better than they were last year when they lost Hughes. Mm-hmm. I think they have better depth. They got, again, I've said it multiple times, I really like their defense corps, and it shows, like, that this year, former second-round pick Simone Nemec got 12 points in 19 games, 4 goals. He has a hat trick.
Yeah.
You know, you pair that with Luke Hughes, Brendan Dillon, Dougie Hamilton, like, that's a lot of offense coming out of your back end, which is huge. I like the rookie. They got... Arseny Grzyuk. I mm-hmm. butchered that. Sorry, pal, but you're off to a good start. I like what I'm seeing. And then they're getting great play out of the guys like that are supposed to be, like Jasper Bratt, Timo Meier, Nico Hischier are all playing very well. Mm-hmm. Dawson Mercer, great start, 16 points in 19 games. He's doing phenomenal. Second in the team in goals at 9. He's really kind of come into his own. I know he was someone that had a great start to his career. The last 2 years haven't been as great, but, you know, he's bouncing back and he's finding the back of the net. And he's a guy that really helps this team out a lot. And he's someone that they need to really step up now that Hughes is gone. We need to see him continue to play at this level. And yeah, I think they're in good shape. I mean, they're going to need to get somebody on the top six.
Yeah.
So we'll see who they can pick up, but they definitely need to make a move. I'm not sure who they have in the pipeline that can come in and fill that role.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they need to look at that and make a serious adjustment to to fill in that time, because you're missing Jack Hughes, is that's a lot of offense that you're missing for the next like month and a half.
Yeah.
So you definitely got to find it somewhere. And with that said, I mean, they got guys who still need to really get some playing time under their belt. You know, I know Evgeny Dodonov has only played a handful of games. You know, hopefully, you know, he's back in action and he can contribute, because he's someone they brought in who definitely could to provide that offense. I mean, he's a guy who can score 20 goals.
Yeah.
No problem. He's done it multiple times in his career. You know, a lot of his early success was at Florida. And, you know, he had 20 goals last year, 40 points. One of his better seasons. So, yeah, I think this is a guy that could definitely spark the offense now that he's healthy. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what could happen. I mean, yeah, they're a point behind. But, you know, you go on a tear, you went 2-3 in a row. And boom, now you're up 6 points. And, you know, that's where we're at.
Fair. All right. Let us move to another team that we talk a lot about. Vancouver's got to be feeling a little bit upset right now. This offseason, they traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins goaltender Artis Silvo. I am going to butcher that name. S-I-L-O-V-S. Yeah, Artie. Artie. Okay, very good.
Yeah. Artie Mack.
He's never having him, a hell of a year. And has pretty much kind of like almost solidified himself as a huge – as a candidate for the Calder Memorial Trophy, right? His top rookie. Let's see. 10 games. He has posted a 4-2-4 record, a 9.18 save percentage, and 2.44 goals against average. Also recorded his first career shutout in his Penguins debut on October 7, stopping all 25 New York Rangers shots he faced. Penguins have got to be really happy right now.
Yeah, they made a great trade. They, you know, Kyle Dubas was ready to tear down the whole team, the stadium, the arena, you know, rip up the parking lot and, you know, empty the river. But he made a good trade. I mean, he's done some trades with Vancouver, so there's familiarity with that. And yeah, he got a great player. And I think what brought the trade on was the fact that Thatcher Demko signed a long-term contract and this dude was ready to go, and you can't have, it just worked like, hey, we just, you know, we got to move him, and it worked. You know, Pittsburgh's happy that they made the trade. Yeah. Pittsburgh's now a playoff team. They needed to shore up their back end because Tristan Jarry, you know, he's not the 1A guy anymore. He needs a little bit more help, and this guy steps in and he's getting that help.
Fair enough. All right. All right, let's move on to a little bit more of a sadder story in Boston. Charlie McAvoy sidelined indefinitely after taking a slap shot to the face. He is apparently recovering from facial surgery that he had on Wednesday. So defenseman was struck by the face by Noah Dobson slap shot in the second period of a 3-2 win against Montreal Canadiens on Saturday and taken directly to the hospital. Did not play 3-1 loss against the Hurricanes on Monday, but apparently he's recovering at home, but have no clue how long he's going to be out. Gotta suck. Number one, let's start there. Also, what does this do for the Bruins?
I mean, man, the Bruins were off to a fantastic start this year. They're still a playoff team right now. We'll see what happens. They've lost two in a row, but they're still up 7 out of the last 10 they've won. They're running into a lot of injuries, and they're mounting up faster than they would like. Yeah. I mean, just in the last week, on the IR, they got Elias Lindholm, Casey Mittelstadt, Victor Arvidsson, and now Charlie McAvoy. That's a big part of your offense now out.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't, as amazing as he is, you can't put it all on David Pastrnak. He's not going to be able to sustain what he's been doing with so many talented players out of the lineup. Now, with that said, Boston still has Morgan Geekie, who's got 14 goals. You got Pavel Zacha. You got Michael Essamont, who's having a off to like pretty much a career year. They got good players. They got guys who can continue to play well. but they're going to need some help. So I think that you can see Boston look to make some moves and to kind of get some more offense going, and kind of segue into something I read earlier today. The Winnipeg Jets former first round pick Brad Lambert has been granted approval to seek a trade.
Oh,
is he someone who could step into, like, say, a team like Boston who needs some help? He's 21. He's only played 10 games over 3 years in Winnipeg. He's been primarily an AHL player, putting up really strong numbers in the AHL. And, you know, looking at the Jets, I mean, he's a center. They got four centers that are dialed in. And for him, it's probably going to be kind of hard for him to crack the lineup when you got, players like Scheifele, Jonathan Toews, Adam Lowry in front of you. So I think it's time. It's kind of writing on the wall. I think it's time for him to move on. And I think Winnipeg realizes that as well. And hopefully they can go out and get another middle six, top six guy, you know, bring in some more offense or get some more draft picks. Their pipeline is okay. Not great, but you know, there's always opportunity to improve. I feel like you'll get a nice return for a premier prospect like Lambert. So we'll see. Maybe Boston and Winnipeg in the next couple of days make a trade. We'll see.
Fair, fair.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the Panthers. Jeff Petrie. Petrie. Okay, there we go. I'm bad at names. Celebrated his 1,000th game this week. Hell of a career so far. His first season with the Panthers, gotta be happy where he is right now. What do you think? How's his career shaped up so far, and where do you think he goes from here?
Yeah, well, I think the reason he went to Florida is, I mean, opportunity to win a cup.
That's fair.
He played up primarily almost 10 years of his career. Most of his career was with Montreal. But the last 2 years he was with Detroit, had solid years. I mean, he puts up good minutes. And on Florida, he's like that third D pairing. He doesn't play a lot of minutes. He's down to like 14, which is a career low. But, I mean, he's doing what they need him to do, and I think that's what it all matters to. And, yeah, I mean, 1,000 games in the NHL, that's nothing to that's something to brag about. I mean, not a lot of players get to that level, and the amount of longevity, consistency, health, and being a player that teams want to have on their roster.
Yeah.
Well, good job there, Jeff. Way to get to 1,000. Not a lot of people can say they've done that.
Fair enough. All right. Finally, this is more of a side story, but I didn't even know this. There has been celebrations this week in the NFL as they have – the terms of the bargaining agreement don't go into effect yet, but a lot of teams are kind of like giving up. I didn't know there was a very strict suit and tie dress code for NHL players, and that's gone now. How long has this been a thing forever? I'm new to hockey.
Yeah, but it's a thing forever. I think next year, I think officially it comes into play next year.
Yeah, but apparently, they're already starting to.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it is a business and you want to be as professional and as formal as possible. But at the end of the day, they're walking from the garage.
Yeah.
Like they're walking like 400 feet. I mean, it's a lot to ask people to put on a three-piece suit for a couple hundred yards. Like it's,
yeah,
you know, so I get it. I think it also helps players become more relaxed or not having to take off their wingtips. Look, at the end of the day, you got on a pair of jeans, you got a pair of dress pants. It is what it is. I think it also plays into the fact that they did allow it to be removed during the COVID shortened season.
Yeah.
So they've gotten away from it before. And I think at the end of the day, every other sports franchise or sports league doesn't have a dress code to walk in. I know football, basketball doesn't. I don't
really
know about
a lot of basketball players like really like ham it up.
Yeah, you could do it. I mean, you could do whatever you want. So if you want to wear a dress, you want to wear a suit, great. But if you want to show up in like a hoodie and like some sweatpants, like it's fine too.
Oh, that's fair.
You know, but a lot of people use that as their way to like part of their self-expression. So
fair,
you know,
fair.
I was always a big fan of like wearing whatever you want. Because at the end of the day, what you wear into the arena doesn't dictate how you're going to play the game.
Fair
and
enough.
I don't think, and I maybe back in the day it was like, well, if you show up in like jeans and a t-shirt, how serious are you taking this? This is your job. So yeah. I guess being dressed a little bit more formal at one point was important. But now, like, dude, most people work professionally at home. They're wearing shorts and a t-shirt. Like,
yeah, fair.
Like, why can't Bob from Cincinnati just do the same to, you know, but it's fair all enough. Good.
All right, finally tonight, I thought we could end today's, or at least my, you know, rundown. We got through all my to-dos with a little bit of your picks for the rest of the week in tonight's games. So yeah. We got, and now I know it's already in progress. It's an hour in. The Chicago Blackhawks versus the Kraken. And you're kind of saying this before. Like, what happened? Chicago's good now.
Yeah, Chicago built this team from the – it's just – I mean, draft picks.
Yeah.
Smart trades, you know. I mean, this team, the big thing they did, they won out last year and got goalie of the future and Spencer Knight. They traded away Seth Jones and opened up $9 million of cap space. He wasn't someone who wanted to be there. They're like, okay, we're going to make this work. They did. Boom. Done and done. They brought in a few veterans. In the, last season, they brought in Andre Barakovsky, two-time mm-hmm. Stanley Cup winner. Two-year, $5 million deal. Very generous. Very, you know, good for both parties. Doesn't tie them up long-term. They get a veteran who knows how to win, helps this locker room with, you know, adding to the leadership with guys like Nick Foligno and Teuvo Teravainen and Tyler Bertuzzi, those older guys on the roster. And then, look, you got Frank Nazar full season, who's really strong. You got Oliver Moore coming into their first full year. You got Colton Dock. You got Landon Slager. All these young guys to go with Connor Bedard, who is unreal this year. He is making an argument to be on the Olympic team, which wasn't the case last year. He is really putting his best foot forward, and the way he's playing, I think he should be there. And I'm glad I'm not part of the Canadian Olympic Committee because I have no clue who I would take. Because I think everyone from Four Nations, I don't really think they really needed to tweak anything. But the way Macklin Scalabrine, the way Matthew Schaefer from the rookie from Long Island and the way Connor Bedard has really put their feet to the fire. Like, hey, these are guys that we may need to have. I'm not saying all three, but we may need to have them represent Canada.
Yeah.
Now who goes? Not sure. Glad it's not my job, but we may see a little bit of a shakeup there.
Fair enough. All right. Who do you have in that game? Kraken or Seahawks? Blackhawks, sorry.
I always take the Seahawks, 12th man at all. But,
sorry.
The Blackhawks, I just think this team, it's a fun team to watch. Mm-hmm. I liked watching them last year. A little bit rough sometimes because they get down 3-0 really quick, and you're just like, all right, well, let's hope something could happen. But I think this year they're built a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I like their defensive core as well. I think they got a young guy in Alex Vlasic who's now becoming that anchor. They went out and signed Matt Grzelcyk, a veteran that kind of shored up. You take out Connor Murphy and Grzelcyk, this whole defense is under 24 years old.
Yeah.
So, like, a lot of – with that great youth becomes there are going to be times there's going to be some errors and mistakes. That's part of the growing pains, but you got a really strong young defensive core that's going to be locked in for the next couple of years. I mean, kudos to them. And they got Spencer Knight to be their number one guy. They got Arvid Soderblom as their backup, so they're in a pretty good place, and they're really going to be a disruptor this year. They could make a run for the playoffs, and I would not be surprised if they got into the playoffs this year. Mind you, the Central is a frigging gong show of a division where there are literally five teams can come out of that division every year. And, you know, I could say if there wasn't the one through, if they could do more than five teams, like I could definitely see this division bringing like six or seven teams if there was a different format. If it was just the top eight teams in each conference, you know, this division could have a lot more than five. That's what I'm saying. They're just that good.
All right. Moving on to tonight's late game. We have a probably very tired Anaheim Ducks. Their third game in four nights, hosting a very well-rested Ottawa Senators who haven't played since November 15th. What do you got for me on this game?
I like Anaheim. This team is like Chicago. They've got their draft picks. They develop them. They're playing lights out. And my God, Leo Carlson is just playing on another level. they're just stacked, this team. I mean, the amount of solid players they have, they brought in great veterans to kind of anchor this team with Trouba, Rakdos Gaddick from a few years ago, Chris Kreider and Mikael Granlund last year, Alex Killorn, great veteran leadership to complement all these young players like Troy Terry, Cutter Gauthier, Matavish, Carlson. Like, this team is built very well. Strong defensive core. Like, it's a team to beat out in the West, and that's why they're in the first in the division. Like, they're just that good.
Yeah. You're not worried about, you know, all the too many games in a row slowing them down?
It definitely plays an effect, but I mean, after this, their schedule opens up a little bit, so like you'll get that rest. I mean, I don't think they don't play Friday. They'll play Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's part of the schedule. Everyone gets a wonky schedule at some point.
Fair enough.
So they play Saturday, but they don't play again until Wednesday. So they'll get a nice little 3 days off.
All right. So Anaheim has it.
Yeah, everyone could benefit from 3 days off. Well, I mean, you know, I'll take a day. Other games that I like, tomorrow, Friday the 21st, the Winnipeg, Carolina, Nikolai Ehlers back to Winnipeg. That should be a fun game. Both those teams are playing very well. Both of them, the tops of their respective conferences. Winnipeg, is a team that I always kind of root for. I like the way they're built. I like their style of play. Connor and Scheifele together is one of, and Gabe Vilardi is one of the best lines in hockey. Fun to watch. A lot of creativity. Score a ton of goals. I mean, just a fun lineup there. That would be like my Friday matchup. Saturday, could have been a great rivalry forming, the Edmonton Florida matchup, but both those teams are rocked with injuries. So,
yeah,
not the game I'll really root to watch, but I mean, it still could be fun. I like Tampa, Washington. I think that's going to be a good game. You know, this new rivalry kind of brewing, you know, Toronto, Montreal. I think Montreal takes that. And then the late night, Vegas, Anaheim, 1-2 in their respective divisions. That's a big game. And then Sunday, Chicago, Colorado is a nice one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, Winnipeg, Minnesota, I mean, a battle for, you know, points in their division. So that's always going to be important. But yeah, I don't make Boston, San Jose is okay. Colorado, Calgary, Vancouver is like, all right, nothing too crazy. But, you know, there's a couple big games. And if you have ESPN Plus, you can get most of them.
Very good.
You know, hashtag not sponsored. Throw me a bone, guys. Come on. You take my $13 yeah, Disney, a month.
Disney's very been known to throw the bones every now and then, right?
Yeah, I mean, we could come up with a great TV show.
All right. That covers everything on my list. Anything else you want to touch on before we wrap this one up?
No. I think we did very good. I think, you know, there's a lot going on. I mean, another big free agent came off the board late last week. Adrian Kempe re-signing with LA. This upcoming free agency in the summer is going to be very lackluster because all the big players are now off the board. I know Panarin's going to be available, but I mean, going into this summer, there was a lot more players. They all have re-signed with their teams, respectfully. And, you know, that's just, again, like, Kempe could have, if he wanted to, he could have gone to free agency and been, like, you know, the belle of the ball. But, you know, he's had a great career in L.A. He's going to be the next captain, in my opinion. He's a guy that's going to take that team to the next level. And he's in the right place.
Fair enough. All right. That wraps it up for this podcast. I hope you all join us next week right here for more Drive to Anzac.